Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engaged to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Brett. I got Kyle with me. It's the normal crew, and we're back to normal. So for all of you that liked the episode last week, because Kyle was hosting and it was so fun, sorry, we're back to normal. It's not as fun this week.
I still have my bubbles here on the table, so we could make a shift if we need to, Brett.
We're the normal crew who's not so normal.
I know, like, what does normal really mean?
All right, so actually, it's interesting because we are recording this podcast on Wednesday, and this is the first episode that we're recording where none of us were actually in service this past Sunday.
Yes, I think ever.
Ever.
And 100 and what episodes in?
154, 155, I think.
Yeah.
Shout out to not being in service, I guess.
So I was with Brett, so I know he was at church, so we can vouch for each other. Yes. Damon, we'll have to talk about that later.
So all of us had to listen to the sermon either on the podcast or watch it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it was an interesting sermon because Pastor Barry had to do something he rarely does, right? Oh, okay. That wasn't supposed to be a rhetorical question. I was like actually asking you.
Which is what? Like, where are you going? Oh, he was
presenting the gospel as two parts, not just the good news. He talked about it as the bad news and the good news. And he threw some shade at me, too.
That's what I thought you were going to go for. Yeah.
No, he makes fun of me about being a Clipper fan all the time, but
it wasn't shade. He was just stating facts that if the Lakers win, you probably don't enjoy that.
But kind of in light of his bad news, making the good news better.
Yeah.
When the Clippers finally win the championship, it's going to feel so good because we've had so much bad news.
A lot of,
See, so winning a championship for the Laker fans must not even feel that good because it's all they keep winning and winning and winning. So nowadays, it probably doesn't feel that good. But
I think I can speak on behalf of Laker fans that it still feels great. Sometimes good news is just good news no matter what.
There's some truth in that for sure.
Well, hopefully we can experience the gospel as good news all the time, just yes. like that.
Yes.
And so it was interesting because, you know, Pastor Barry had shared that for a long time he kind of shied away from sharing the bad news of the eternal consequences of our sin and presenting the gospel as bad news, which leads to good news. Mm-hmm. But he's really felt a conviction recently that it can be a helpful tool to help people to receive the Lord and understand the good news when they first hear and experience the bad news.
Yeah, I think for me, it's I would rather use the word hard. It's the hard news because it's like the hard truth, but then understanding that, there is that aspect that you have to kind of own up to and deal with. And when you do face that, then you look at the gospel in light of that, the good news that it is, it's like, oh, wow, what a gift that is.
Yeah, it's funny. In his sermon, he asked, like, talk to the person next to you. Would you rather hear good news first or bad news? If someone says, I have good news and I have bad news, what do you want to hear first? He's like, most people say they want to hear the good news. I was like, I want to hear bad news.
I'm right with you, man. I was thinking the same thing.
That must be that realist.
That's right.
Realist thing.
Get it out of the way.
But, yeah, in thinking about it and kind of feeling more comfortable with sharing with people like the good news, it's like, why do we leave sometimes the bad news out or the hard news? It made me think of, in certain ways, whenever you're going to tell somebody something tough or hard, I think just naturally we're even taught, like, you know, like, what are those things, like sandwich?
Oh, yeah.
Things like say something good, then say something constructive or bad, then say something good so that they're able to receive it. Mm-hmm. And so I think most of the time it's focused on just the part that's easy to receive. Mm-hmm. But them going kind of hand in hand, I think allows for actually, or it could allow for actually a better reception or being received, because it's this weird dynamic where I don't think they minimize each other to the point where it's like, okay, it's not worth sharing one part or the other. But like he did say, in sharing the bad news, I do think it kind of maximizes the good news to being great news. And so I do like that aspect of it, even though it could be difficult or feel uncomfortable in identifying the hard news and having that being understood, to then being able to kind of amplify the good news.
While you were sharing it, it just made me think that it's really the fullness of the gospel. So it's not two separate things. It's not bad mm-hmm. news and good news. It's actually still part of the good news, but it's just the harder reality, but that's just part of the gospel. And so that hard reality points to, like, wow, what a gift that, and what good news it is that the Lord, that God gave us Jesus and his sacrifice.
Yeah, I think as you guys were both talking, the picture that came to mind is really transformation of the gospel, mm-hmm. right? And so to understand and recognize what the transformation is and what it brings, you kind of want to see the full transformation. Otherwise, mm-hmm. if it's kind of minimized on the bad side, it'll kind of, like Pastor Bear was sharing, it minimizes the good side, but then you're kind of in the middle and it's like, well, what's the difference? Like, mm-hmm. what's the difference between living one way versus living the other way? They're kind of similar, mm-hmm. but when you recognize the fullness of the whole thing, then you can recognize, like, oh, there's actually a big transformation. It's really more like night and day, not mm-hmm. just like it's sunset and sunrise and they look kind of similar, but they're actually different parts of the day, right?
So I'm wondering too, if people shy away from the harder side of the gospel, because in the past, I think it's been given by itself, where if you just give the hard part and you're just trying to bring the shock and awe and like the fear type of thing, which is, I mean, Ross even shared that that was how he came to the Lord, because he was, man, I don't want to go down that path. I'm mm-hmm. scared of it a little bit. There's value in it, but if you only leave it with that, then man, that's not good either. And so then there's like this recoil of, oh, I've experienced it that way. I don't want that. But instead, they just need to go together. They shouldn't be separated.
Yeah, it's another one of those things in the Bible that has that tension that they go hand in hand. And with that, it actually, like you said, it gives the full picture of the gospel and what the truth of the matter is, the grace of it, and then ultimately, like, the love of God.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's kind of like we've been talking about love of God, awe of God, or fear of God, right? And it's experiencing it's the fullness, mm-hmm. right? And so, kind of like you were sharing, Kyle, before, a lot of it, I think, was, okay, the gospel is really our fire escape plan, right? It's our fire insurance, so we don't go to hell. So if we just believe the right things, then we're okay. But there wasn't really a focus on the transformed life or what you get to experience as being a believer, as hearing the Lord's voice, having the intimacy with the Lord. Those weren't things that were emphasized. It was just really emphasized, well, you don't have to end up in eternal punishment or things like that, right? And then it kind of shifted the other way, right? And so what Pastor Barry's trying to show, and where we're trying to go, is we're trying to say we need both. Mm-hmm. It's the fullness of the gospel that's important for people to understand. And it's not one way or the other.
I can't help but liken it to how I've been growing in my marriage and in my relationship with my wife.
Ooh, it's going to be deep. I like it. Let's go.
Well, it's like...
Or it's going to get you in trouble. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'll get in trouble, because shout out to Brittany and challenging me to grow in this way.
There you go.
But I think oftentimes the hard news, things that are bad news or anything that you kind of put under that umbrella, it can feel messy, right? Talking to somebody about sin, right? Talking to them about what happens when a non-believer passes away. All that can be very messy, or like, I don't know if I want to go there. That's uncomfortable. I don't want to offend anyone. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, some people are like, oh yeah, I want to go there. I don't care if I offend people. But for the most part, it can get messy. And so the area that I've been growing is recognizing that messiness and being okay with it, and not shying away from it because you know of the good news. And so in situations where we're in arguments or different things, it's easy for me, I don't know if it's just because I'm a guy or how I'm wired, but to want to point her to the good news, essentially. Mm. Point her to a area of growth, of, no, this is where God is calling us. But it kind of doesn't give her the space to work through the quote-unquote bad news mm-hmm. of it. And so that's kind of like me only trying to give somebody the good news. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, yeah, I know that, but that person is not able to fully receive it well. And so in being willing to step into the messiness and not affirm it in a way of encouraging them in it, but to recognize it, to talk about it, and then point it to the good news, is where she's been able to really receive, and we've been able to walk together in some of those things. And so I can't help but think of it in that dynamic when evangelizing or sharing the gospel, of the willingness to kind of be in the messiness with somebody and talk about those things, and then ultimately it point to the good news.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know if this fully correlates, but yeah, it's with parenting too, like having to deal with the messy stuff. So you could either go hard on that and you're always correcting, always rebuking your kids, or you can always be affirming and, like, you know, calling out the good stuff. But if you don't have a balance, then they're not going to be in a healthy spot either. So you need, it's like you said, there's so many things in the Bible and in the way we're wired, that we need that balance of kind of conflicting things, almost like where they're in tension and overemphasizing, whether it's because we had a bad experience and we didn't like the way it was done, so we just kind of react and go a different direction, but we ignore the part that we didn't like, but that part still has value and it still needs to be there. So I think same thing with the sharing the gospel. If we may have had a bad experience of how it was shared with us in some way, and then, okay, I don't want to do that to somebody else. Mm. So it's like, well, yeah, but they still need that aspect somehow.
Mm. Yeah, and I think a lot of it too is just perspective and how we're looking at it, right? Because we were talking about it in terms of bad news and good news, right? But really, the whole thing is the good news.
Right, right.
Right? So if we're looking at it from the perspective of, okay, well, this is the bad news and then this is the good news, then we're already framing it in a certain paradigm for ourselves, mm-hmm. versus if we just look at it, no, this is the complete gospel, not just a partial part of it. Mm-hmm. I guess an example of that could be, it was funny, I was talking to someone who was instrumental in another couple getting together, and they ended up getting married. Mm-hmm. And so I was telling them, it's your fault they got married, right? And it was kind of, I was joking with them about it.
Yeah.
And they were like, the way they received it, I was trying to encourage them and try to say, that's a good thing. And they're like, man, I feel so da 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 da. And it was like a negative thing because I used fault. Mm-hmm. I said, it's your fault, right? And I was like, you're receiving this totally wrong. But it was interesting how they were receiving it, because they thought it was a bad thing. I was blaming them. It's like, no, I think it's a good thing. I'm happy that they got together and they ended up getting married. And it wouldn't have happened without you, but they were receiving it as like a bad thing because I used the word, it was your fault, right? Mm-hmm. So I think our paradigm and our perspective influences how we respond to things and how our emotions are attached to certain things, right? So if we look at it as bad news, then we're going to have some negative emotions around it. Mm. But if we shift that around, then we might actually experience it in a different way too.
Note to self, sarcasm does not always translate well in conversations. Okay, yeah, that's right. I got to remember that. So as Brett mentioned, Brett and I were in service this week, but we were with the youth. We were teaching. I was helping to teach, and we were doing that. But you actually weren't in service this week.
I mean, I wasn't even at church. I wasn't even in the city.
That's what I mean. You weren't even, okay. And then that's why Pastor Barry was calling you out, talking trash about the Clippers.
Because I wasn't there to defend myself. Yeah,
you couldn't yell and, hey, I don't know. But yeah. Why don't you share with the listeners? You had a very important date, a special date that has a lot of meaning to you, or not date, activity. And so what was it and what happened?
Okay, so I guess, I mean, I've shared this a little bit on the podcast before because people have asked about it, but I ran the Mountains to Beach Marathon this past Sunday. Originally,
that's Ojai to Oxnard or Ojai
to Ventura Beach.
Yeah.
So originally I was supposed to run the OC Marathon, which is the first weekend in May, but now that my responsibilities have changed at church and I'm a little bit more responsible for multi-gen, I felt the Lord asking me, are you willing to shift your race to be at church on that Sunday? Because you are responsible. And so, there was a wrestling.
Yeah, I give you credit for that. Because, I mean, we could have shifted things and you could have like had people help and cover or whatever.
There was a wrestling with it for me because, you know, I had a training schedule. I was in the middle of my training schedule when some of these decisions were being made. And I was had to wrestle with it because normally my training schedule is 18 weeks and shifting my marathon would be dropping it down to 15 weeks. And I had a specific goal time I wanted to run. There was, I generally in the past, if I have ramped up too quickly, I'd get hurt. So there was a fear of getting hurt. But at the same time, it's like, no, this is an important thing for me. And I am willing to move my race for the Lord. So there was an aspect of, you know, we've been talking about wholehearted surrender.
I felt like obedience.
Obedience, all that. It's like, okay, is this something the Lord is asking me to do? If he is, am I willing to do it? And so it's like, okay, we've been talking about a lot. Okay, this is where I put my money, where my mouth is, where I be like Brett and be about it. So I will shift my marathon. So I had my race this past Sunday. Starts in the mountains of Ojai and you end at the beach. So it's called Mountains to Beach. And actually, I had a really good race. And
You didn't have a really good race. You had a fantastic race.
Okay. I raced my best race that I've ever had. And I set my personal best by 4.5 minutes over the course of 26 miles. So yeah, it was a good race. Not without its hurdles, but it was a good race.
Dude, I'm actually thinking, like, I don't know if I could do it that fast on a bike.
You definitely could because it's all downhill.
Oh, that's true. That's
so
true.
Then you just coast.
Okay, so on a flat one, I don't know if I could do it that fast on a bike.
Yeah, there's no way.
Okay, sorry.
Well, so I was actually waiting for Brett to read off the stats because last time I ran, he had stats, but
I had the website still open. I closed the app this morning.
No, okay.
252.
I looked it up because I thought, I thought his PR previously was faster than, I didn't know he beat it by that much this time. So then I was looking it up and then I realized, oh, you could actually look at like the result as a whole. And so I was looking it up and I just wanted to see where he was. And then I was just like, oh my gosh. In his age group, I think he was like the sixth fastest.
Whoa.
And the two people above him were only like 10 seconds faster. And overall, he was, I think you were like 63rd or something.
Oh man.
63rd male. Yeah. 66th overall.
I was like, dude, that's crazy. And not to call you old or anything, because I don't think you're old, but you were making a joke about how you're like, yeah, I ran my fastest time and I'm,
you can say how old I am.
42.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, looks like you got a little LeBron James in you.
Why you gotta go Lakers?
Well, if
I like to think of it more like I'm Kawhi because
came back from injury,
right?
Okay, so but this the significance is that you're trying to qualify for the Boston Marathon, right?
Yes. The last time that I ran, 2023 Long Beach Marathon, which I qualified for Boston. That was the one that I shared about on the podcast where I trained for 308. I ended up at 308, even though I was feeling pretty good before that. But this time there were so many people that qualified that they,
you got bumped.
I got bumped out because I didn't qualify fast enough or enough under the qualifying time. So I had to, so they actually changed the qualifying time to 5 minutes faster for this, for next year, 2026.
Yeah.
So just right away, I would have had to run 5 minutes faster, which was 3:05.
Yeah.
So that was kind of what I've been shooting for. So yeah, 252. I'm pretty sure I'll make it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but you know, one of the things that, sometimes people come talk to me is like, oh, you're running so fast. You're doing so good. That's a great accomplishment. Which it is. And I feel really good about it. And I'm really excited to finally be able to get to go to Boston. And I'm going to be smarter about training this time so I don't get injured like last time. But
basically, you just woke up out of bed and just ran the marathon, right?
Definitely not.
18 weeks of just kind of getting up and walking around your house. And is that about it?
No. Yeah. So, I mean, really, it's the culmination of a lot of decisions to prepare myself to go, right? So we've talked a little bit about it, and it's been a while, mm-hmm. is this concept of training versus trying, mm-hmm. right? So when people think about how fast I did or how well I did on the race, it's like sometimes they look at it, or at least it feels like they look at it like, that's mm-hmm. what I did. Right. I woke up one morning and I said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to run, and wow, you're so fast. It's like, no, this is actually the culmination of, mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, 20 plus years of running, and specifically now 15 weeks of training and making certain decisions. You know, one of the things that I was telling these guys a couple months ago was like, oh, I'm going to not drink sugary drinks anymore. I'm going to try to limit my desserts. So even some of those things that don't necessarily have something to do with the actual running, choosing to make some of those decisions as part of the training, right? And so a lot of times I think that's how we look at our spiritual life and our relationship with the Lord. It's like, oh, look at some of these people. Look at where they're at. I'll never get there. And we don't recognize the little decisions, the small steps that they had to take to get there, and how those are actually attainable if we break it down into small chunks or small steps, one step at a time.
So I think I'll never get there, or the naive part of, oh, I can do that. And you step in and you think it's just going to be a quick little switch. Mm. And it's like, then you flame out because you're just like, this is like defeating. I can't do this.
I think also there's things along the way that could be viewed even as good things that you have to say no to.
Even dessert, like, is definitely good.
Yeah. Or even like you training and knowing how hard to go, like I don't know, someone who doesn't know about training as much, it'd be like, oh, if I run a little extra, that should help me more. So it's actually like, oh, this is a good thing. It should produce a good result. But knowing that, like, no, the discipline or the choice to stick to a game plan or to recognize how your body's feeling and trusting that versus like, well, if I train more, then I'll be more prepared. So then I could do better. Even things that seem like it could be good for the outcome. Sometimes it's even saying no or making choices.
Oh yeah. That's what this whole last week has been, because just to give you a little insider baseball on running. So as you prepare for your marathon, you generally do the bulk of your heavy lifting training. So the long miles, the 20 mile runs, those types of things about 3 weeks before, and then you taper down before your race. So trying to make sure that you're well rested, make sure that your legs are fresh. You've done a lot of the work beforehand, and trusting your training. So this past week, there were 2 days I was supposed to not run at all. There's a lot of days where it was significantly less.
Wait, so did you not run on those days?
I didn't run on one of those days.
That cost you 10 seconds right there.
And the other day I ran just a little bit, and not super fast. So, but just being able to trust your training and say like, oh, not say, oh, if I just got in another 10 mile run, or if I just did another interval, or just sometimes that's hard. Mm. It's hard to hold back. And sometimes, especially for me, and that's why I get injured a lot when I train for these marathons. Cause I
want to keep pushing,
I know that I can push myself, but it's my body that can't handle it.
Yeah.
My will is strong enough where I can push myself. My body can't handle it. And so, yeah, so this past week has been a struggle. It's like, oh, did I not do enough? Is there something else I could be doing? But at the same time, it's like, no, I got to trust my training plan and know that this is going to actually help me to be fresh and be well-rested and be ready to go on race day.
I think, like, for me, it actually ties in with like the seasons of life. I think sometimes we don't value them and we want to stay in whatever your favorite, if it's like spring or summer and you're active and busy and you want to stay there all the time. But it's like, well, our emotional space, our relational space, there's different things. Like we need those times where it's a little bit more like winter and we can just quiet ourselves down. Maybe we need to reflect more. Maybe we need to have that more of a contemplative type of season. But if we don't value that, then we're always going to be running at a high speed and we're never going to get those deeper moments where they only come when you like slow down a little bit. And so I think that's really, it's really cool to point that out that, yeah, no, our bodies need that, our minds need that. And actually that's a very valuable thing in our spiritual growth as well.
I even had to do that during the race too, because
I was going to bring that up.
At the beginning of the race, you know, there's a lot of adrenaline, there's all these people, and it's really easy to run fast at the beginning and because everything feels good. And it's like the excitement of the race. I've been waiting for this for 15 weeks. I'm excited to go. And, you know, this course starts in the mountains and it ends at the beach. So there's a lot of downhill, right? So it's easy. Everything's in your favor to go fast at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's a marathon. It's a long race. So if you go too fast at the beginning, then you're going to get shot at the end. And so learning how to be aware of that and be present with that at the beginning so that you don't overextend yourself at the beginning and then cause yourself to have a bad race because at the end your legs can't go anymore.
Well, how about share a little bit about your having to apply self-control, especially with your competitiveness? You shared a little bit of that with me and I'm like, oh, that could be hard in the heat of it, in the midst of your race.
Okay, so I'm a pretty competitive person, but on my training runs, a lot of times I was running by myself because I've shared this before. Not a lot of people like to run with me at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. But
or the amount of distance you run and the pace you run,
okay,
too.
Okay, that too. But a lot of my runs were very early in the morning, so I had a lot of alone time. And then get to a race, and there's all these people that are around you, right? So it's not something that I'm used to in my training to be around a lot of people. And there is a competitive side in me that is pretty competitive. And so there was quite a few times where I'm in the middle of the race and there's people either passing me or there's people that are running next to me. And it's like, oh man, I want to beat this person. I want to beat this person. But at the same time, it's early in the race. So I kept having to tell myself, like, the purpose of my race is not just to beat this person. The purpose of my race is for me to run a good race. Mm-hmm. And I want to run a good race. And by overextending myself right now and trying to beat this person, that could actually lead to me having a bad race. Mm. And so there were quite a few times where I had to remind myself, like, just do it like training. In training, I wasn't trying to compete against anybody. I was just trying to have a good run and enjoy being in the Lord's presence. And so I was very aware of the Lord during the whole race, which was kind of cool too. It's a very beautiful run going from Ojai to the beach. So there's a lot of good scenery, although it would have been better if it was not overcast. So there were some certain points where, it's just really cloudy, but yeah, it really made a difference in my experience of the race as well, where it wasn't just about the performance. It was about, you know, having a good race. It was about spending time with the Lord. It was about remembering just significant people in my life that have helped me to get here. Mm-hmm. There was one point I was sharing with Kyle that we're running on this road and there's kind of a valley to the right. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of a time when we were in Africa last year we kind of made a pit stop on the side of the road and you could see the whole valley and it was just this beautiful thing. And it just reminded me of that experience. And it was like, okay, right now I can pray for my brothers in Kenya, pray for my brothers in Mozambique, and just the work that they're doing, the people that we met, and, you know, pray for the ministries over there. So yeah, so it was a different experience in a very positive way, because I was felt very connected with the Lord in the middle of the run too.
Because it seemed like this season especially, or it's not just this training season, but the last whatever year or so, that with your running and experiencing the Lord at the same time has taken a different, maybe a different shape. It's not like it wasn't there before, but it's gotten to a different place. And then it sounded like that actually played out in the race itself, and that kind of kept you in a good place, but also kind of fueled you. So maybe you can share about how, like, what was that journey like for you to kind of transform incorporating God into something that you love to do?
Well, I don't know if it was necessarily something intentional that happened, but I think as we've been on this journey as a church of like wholehearted surrender, of living in the light, of some of these things that we've been going through together, it's really enhanced my awareness of where the Lord is. And so, you know, certain things that I felt like he's had me surrender is like the competitive side, right? It's like, if I didn't qualify for Boston this time, if I didn't have a good race, would I be okay? So one of my training friends that I've been running with, Zach, some of you guys have met him. We were training last week, right? The week before the race. And he's just trying to remind me like, hey, this training season, you've been doing a lot of praying for houses on your long runs. You've been going to pray for different people. You've been doing all these different things. So just remember, maybe the Lord is preparing you for that in the race. So maybe he wants you to pray for someone in the race. Maybe that's not going to turn out the way that you want. You might not get the time that you want, but really the purpose for you being there is to pray for this person. Or, and so just perspective wise, I feel like that has been shifted. And, and so I feel like the Lord was saying, or has been saying, like, are you willing to surrender this, you know, whether it's getting a qualifying time or doing this or doing that.
Or running the race that you chose. And,
yeah. Are you willing to surrender those things if I'm going to be present in what you're doing? And so it's cool too. So I don't know if, have we talked about the musicals on the podcast before?
I think you just mentioned it briefly.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. So shout out to Sight and Sound Theater. It's kind of cool. They are actually having a free streaming event this weekend for Easter. There's a Jesus musical. So I would say check it out. It's going to be free this weekend. It's Sight and Sound Theaters. You can just Google it and it'll show up. But it's really good. So, we watched the King David musical as a family, and Riley really likes it. So she's been bugging me because we rented it. So it was like 3-day rental for like $6 or something like that. So she's been bugging me. I want to watch it again. It's like, okay, we got to rent it again. So I found out that renting for 3 days is $6. Renting for a whole month and you get the full library is $9. So I was like, okay, no brainer. I'm going to get the $9 30-day rental. So I was like, okay, I really like the King David one. I want to check out some of the other ones. So their newest one is Daniel, The Life of Daniel. And the first time I watched it, I was like, okay, this is very different than David. David is much more joyful, much more high-spirited, because Daniel is about being in captivity in Babylon and being in exile. So they kind of had to set the tone of what it feels like to be in exile. But one of the things that really I feel like the Lord has been highlighting is Daniel got to this place where he was telling the Lord, I want to be where you are, even if that means I'm here in exile, right? So this is not, they're not in Israel anymore. They're in exile in Babylon. Their life isn't easy because they're in exile, but he had to get to this place where he's like, I just want to be where you are, even if it means I'm here. And I feel like that's been something the Lord has been kind of highlighting to me and asking me, like, is that how much you value my presence? That do you value my presence that much that even if you're going through something difficult, or even if you don't get the things that you want, or if I'm in that place, is that a high value for you? Is that really what you want? Or would you rather have an easy life and I'm not there? And so it's, I think some of those things, like, I've been really having to wrestle with that. But I think that's been something that's been kind of the part of the journey of the running stuff and the race. It's like, oh no, I do feel your presence in this place. I do feel it. So even if I have to change my race or do some of those things, I feel like the Lord has honored that, some of those decisions. And so not going to say that that's why I had a good race, but I don't think it, I do think there's a correlation to it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think it's really cool to see your journey from the outside and hear you share certain things. Something that you're passionate about, it's something you love to do, but then how the Lord has really been able to enter that space because you've let him, and then how that's transformed certain aspects of it and led you in certain things. So yeah, it's really a cool story background to hear.
Yeah, and I think one of the other things that has been neat, Brandon, is I feel like the Lord gave me clarity on a verse that I had, I don't know, struggle is the right word, but I didn't understand before. And so, you know, when we talk about the armor of God, we talk about, right, it's like, okay, I get the purpose of the helmet of salvation or the belt of truth or the sword of the Spirit. But then when it comes to the shoes, it says, have your feet fitted with the shoes that are with the readiness of the gospel of peace. I'm like, what does that mean? I don't even know what that means. But on, as I've been running and as the Lord has been asking me to go, whether it's pray at Dylan's school or pray for different houses, what I felt like the Lord was saying is every place that your feet step, you're bringing my peace. And you're releasing my peace to these places. So on your runs, there's a purpose for you on some of these longer runs. It's not just to get the training in, but there's a purpose because you're bringing my peace to these places that you're going to. And so just be aware of that. Be cognizant of that. When you're on your run, you're kind of on a mission to spread my peace to all of these different places. And so it's actually made my runs a lot more enjoyable. And sometimes it's like, oh, I want to actually go farther because then I can, you know, do more for the Lord. And so, yeah, that's that aspect of it has been really enlightening for me. It's like, oh, this is what that means. It's that wherever our feet go. And so, you know, I think that can apply to all of us, even people that are not runners, right? It's like, okay, when we put on our armor of God, don't forget to put on your sandals, because where you go, you, because of what the Lord has put in you, the Holy Spirit, you are bringing his peace to wherever you go. So you can go into a place that feels totally dark, but you're the light and you're bringing that with you. But you have to be aware of that too, so that you can release that in the places that you go. So that's one of the things that I felt like the Lord was really highlighting during this training season for me, is that wherever I go, I'm bringing his peace and I can release his peace over those different places. And the houses that he asked me to pray for, it's like, okay, I can release my peace or the Lord's peace on those places. If it's at the school, release the Lord's peace over the school. So just the different places, it's like, oh, this, that was actually, it's like, thank you, Jesus, for choosing me to partner with you in that way, that you want to release your peace in these places and choosing me to do that with you.
The Lord's highlighting, Brittany and I have started to watch The Chosen again. And it's actually highlighting, and it was a decent part of the episode we watched, but it's one that I think I tend to focus on when, you know, Jesus says like he only does what he sees his Father do. But in the scene that they depict, he's actually talking to John the Baptist, and John's like super exuberant, and I mean, he's a little out there. So he's like, like, why aren't you like saying like more stuff? Why aren't you declaring? Why aren't you speaking out against this? Like, which are all in the grand scheme of fighting for your faith and believing who God is. Those are all good things, or things that are not like bad. And he's like, why don't you, you know, tell them who you are? Why don't, like, kind of exhorting him too, like, I've heard what you did. Why don't you do that more? All that stuff. And Jesus, you could tell he's like smiling. You could also tell in his eyes, he knows the big picture, but he tells them things like I will, or like in his timing, or no, I'm just doing what my Father, is asking me or is guiding me to do. And, you know, along that process, even with the disciples and stuff, they often are questioning, why are we going there? Or what should we do? Or, oh, I think we should do this. But Jesus, because he's aligned with the Lord and is surrendered to the plan that his Father has for him, and is willing to be completely obedient. You know, I think of all of those points that John Bevere lists and see it in Jesus' obedience, that it's like in his timing, the purpose that he has for him, and almost like that journey that he's on with the disciples is like a part of training and not just trying, I'm just going to do this because I can, or I'm just going to do this, or we should just go do this, but training and learning and the parables of teaching people, of training their minds and to what to expect and what to know. It just reminds me of kind of this journey of running you're talking about and being aligned with God and his timing and what he puts in front of you and not just striving for it, but being proactive in the training for it so that you are ready. And so in that, I thought that was a cool scene. And I don't know why necessarily God highlighted that to me now, but I feel like there's a connection to it.
I think it's a good segue because we are recording in what is considered Holy Week. Easter's coming up in a few days. And when we look at Jesus and what he did on the cross, it's like, wow, how could he do that? Like, how could he get to that place where he went through that? I want to do that. I want to be like him. I mean, we're called to be like Christ, right? We're Christians. We're little Christ. We're supposed to be in more and more like him. But I think there's a huge aspect. Then, Damon, you brought this up earlier before we were recording, and he didn't just step out of bed that day and say, okay, I'm going to the cross. I mean, it was a journey that he was on. I was just looking up Luke 2, verse 52. So it's right after Jesus, they're in Jerusalem for the Passover, and he stays behind, and he's in the temple, and his parents can't find him. They're freaking out. He's like, well, first he says, like, why are you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? So he's there, like, trying to learn more, to grow more. And this is the part that stood out to me. Three verses later, it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I think sometimes we forget that he set aside some of his...
Divinity.
There, thank you. And so he had to go in that progression of he had to train. He had to learn things. Like he had a certain connection that was so pure that it's different than us, but yet he still had to go through this process. So for 30 years, I mean, he was on this process of fulfilling his mission. And then he had a 3-year ministry, but for 30 years, he was still growing in wisdom and stature and connection and all of that stuff and understanding how to operate in the human limitations, probably, you know, we can go into that at a different time, but, it just wasn't like something he just flipped a switch even when he started his ministry. He had been planning for it and preparing for it. That was his 3-year marathon, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think the scenes that you're talking about, Brett, they really highlight just the little decisions that he had to make and the choices that he had to make and the ways that he had to surrender to the Father that when he got to the point where he's in the garden and he's, you know, it says he was sweating blood and he's like, take this cup away from me. But he said, but not my will, your will, right? And he's able to say that because he was doing that in all these small ways before. He knew what was coming. He knew the cross was coming. And so he had to be prepared for that. And so, yeah, I think it's cool how you kind of tie that all together because, you know, those scenes where it's like in man's wisdom, you should be doing this and this and this and this. But again, Jesus had to say, yeah, that might be something I want to do, but what's your will, Father, in this moment? What do you want me to do? I'm going to choose to do that. And so in that, each time that he was doing that, he was growing his self-control. He was growing his will. He was growing his obedience. He was growing, you know, in these different ways so that when it came to the point where he had to surrender the big thing, he's like, okay, I did it in all these little things, so I'm ready to do it in this big thing. And it wasn't just kind of like Carl said, I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to all of a sudden shift everything and, you know, go to the cross. But it was really the culmination of all these little choices that he made.
I think the Chosen, they do a good job, too, of depicting the apostles and their more temporal, earthly perspective of like, we got things to do. Let's go. Where's Jesus? Where's he at? We can't. And oh, he's out praying again.
They even ask like, him, why are you always going off by yourself?
Yeah. And it's so funny. And it's like, it doesn't make sense because, but there's this good news, right? It, it, this, You're the Messiah. All of this stuff. Like, we need to go do all this stuff. And yet he had that, like you said, self-control. He had the restraint to be like, but if I don't do it properly in alignment, then that's not the right way to do it either. And so he knew that God would reveal, like, okay, this is the next step. This is what you need to do. And he was so aware of that and in need of that, that that's what dictated his pace and all of that. Whereas, you know, they do a good job with Peter being so, like, pushy and like, come on, let's go. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh yeah, I feel like that. Like, I just need to do more. I need to learn more. But a lot of it, I just need to rest and I need to actually sit with the Lord and process. And yeah.
And I think that tying it back in with what we were talking about at the beginning with the bad news and the good news, it's really, we need to know the fullness of the gospel so that when we interact with people and the Holy Spirit shares with us what they need, then we're able to approach it from that perspective. Mm. Right. And I thought it was interesting, kind of how that played out in some of the interviews that were in the service, right? It's like, you know, Ross had shared about the woman who needed prayer, right? So it's not like, oh, she's already in a difficult position. She didn't need more of the bad news. She just needed to hear that God loves her and that he wants to heal her, and she received it. And then, you know, where later it's like, okay, there are times where someone needs to hear the bad news in order for them to receive the good news. So just being aware and raising our level of awareness of what the Holy Spirit is leading and what he's asking us to do and stepping into that. Because sometimes it might be wait. Sometimes it might be go. Sometimes it might be share the whole thing. Sometimes it might be they need this part. But we really need to raise our awareness. And I think that's something that Jesus modeled for us too, is he was really aware. His emotional IQ was super high for people, and he was able to give them what they needed.
Just makes me want to watch the next episode now.
Well, we watched two of the sessions of number 5. It's in theaters right now. We haven't done the third one. It's like, the last one's over 3 hours. It's 3 episodes. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
Well, the second one we watched was 3 hours also.
Oh, jeez.
But so we're 5 episodes into the 8, but I'm like, I don't know if we have a block to do it before. I want to watch it before Easter this year, but I'm like, I don't run out of time. I don't know if we can do it. But yeah, they do a really good job of depicting all of that, especially in the intensity of that week, how they show him still going off and making sure he was connecting with the Lord and like understanding, okay, Father, what's next? What's the next assignment for this week? And yeah, it was really good.
And Kyle originally only wanted to go watch the first set in the theater, and now he's contemplating going to 3, so it must be really good.
Well, some of it, too, it's like, oh, I want to support them, but then it gets expensive because it's the full price, and there's no discounts at all, and it's like, man, 4 of us, like, 3 times, it's like, but after the first one, I'm like, I want to see the next one. And now I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to wait till June to watch when they release it on Prime.
Oh, but, wow.
Yeah. It's really good. Okay, so let's just wrap up in going towards Easter. Mm-hmm. You guys have thoughts? I'm actually really excited for the Good Friday service. We're having our first one this year, and I think it's going to be really, really a cool way for us as a church to experience an element of Easter that we haven't been able to do together. Like I know we've gone to certain Good Friday services at different churches, but I'm excited for what that's going to mean for our church. And looking forward to the youth are going to be putting it on, the youth and young adults.
Yeah, I think it's interesting as we have been able to be at our building. It's kind of funny because every time we do something, it's going to be the first time we do it there, right? But there is this, even with like, I can tell teaching the youth and being there each Sunday and the series we're going through, there just feels a different raised, I don't know how to describe it, but other than like just God's spirit. And so I almost have this expectancy of the ways God is going to show up and move each time we get to, even though sometimes it's fun and fun joke saying like, oh, it's going to be the first Good Friday service. It's going to be the first Easter at the new. I do feel like there is significance stepping into it and being able to experience what God has for us there. And this is like a taste of it. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward each time. It's like, oh, this is the first time we're doing it here. Oh, this is the first time we're going to have this here. And so there's a level, definitely a level of excitement and looking forward to it.
Yeah, I've always, it's hard to say. I don't want to say I enjoy going to Good Friday service because, but I do. I feel like there is a different, because it's at, generally it's at night, there's a different atmosphere and a different kind of like intimacy level because of the being in the evening, generally the content of Good Friday service. You know, a lot of times the Good Friday services I've been to, you know, we take communion together, those types of things. It's just, there's a different feel to a Good Friday service than a normal service. So I'm really looking forward to being able to experience that with the Catalyst family, because we haven't been able to do that as a church family ever, right? This is our first one ever.
Yeah, right.
And being able to do it in our own facility with our church family, I'm really looking forward to having that.
Yeah. No, me too. It definitely sets a different, I think, a heart posture for Easter. If you don't go to a Good Friday service, it's not like Easter just has no meaning, but it brings a different awareness and appreciation for what really Easter represents, because it's a good day, it's a Good Friday, but it's, you watch the Passion of the Christ and it's like that was not a good day. I mean, that was a rough day, but really, it just the appreciation of what Jesus did and what Easter really means.
It's kind of like what we started off the episode with, right? It's recognizing the hard truths and the difficult nature of the sacrifice that Jesus made, and recognizing how that really is good news for us and what he did is really good for us. All right, you guys have any closing thoughts for this episode before we head off into Good Friday and Easter?
No, I think I'm good.
Man, I was waiting for Brett and I was going to piggyback. So, all right, I'm piggybacking. No, I'm good.
Well, sorry. Next time, maybe we need Kyle to be the one to host the episode so we can have a lot more fun. But, you know, it is an exciting week for us as a church to be able to have our first Good Friday and good Easter.
Good news on Easter.
Good news on Easter. As a church. And then we also have the Kingdom classes coming up. Don't forget to sign up, especially if some of these things that we've been talking about, whether it's intimacy with the Lord, hearing his voice, or knowing your identity in Christ, or even if it's wanting to make some of the small mini habit changes that help to lead to big change in your life. If you're struggling with any of those areas, like, the Kingdom classes are here to help and give you practical ways to make some of those truths more applicable in your life. So don't forget to sign up. I'm teaching one of them, so I'm giving a pitch to my own class. Sign up.
They start on April 27.
So yeah, a week after Easter, we're starting our Kingdom classes. The identity and the hearing God's voice are going to be before service. The mini habits is going to be after service. And I give a lot of credit to Pastor Barry. He's going to be teaching one before service. He's going to be preaching a sermon, and then he's going to teach one after. So let's, I think people should sign up for that just to honor the work and the effort that Pastor Barry really cares about our church family, that he's willing to lead multiple classes and make it a really long day for him.
But it shows the value that he knows these classes would be transformative if people take them and put them into action.
Yep. So don't forget to sign up. Sign-ups are available on the app, the website, or you can do it in person. We did in-person signups this past week and had, if we don't get people to sign up, Dale's going to track you down with a sign-up sheet to get you to sign up. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing people this weekend to celebrate the risen Messiah.
Yep.
So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.